Marketing Support Network is proud to serve the nonprofit community by offering full-service contact center, fulfillment, digital marketing, and fundraising services. Your vision is our mission, and we can't wait to partner with you. Visit marketingsupportnetwork.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Nonprofit Hub podcast. I'm your host, Megan Spear, and I'm so excited to be joined by a friend of mine this morning. Bethany Cranfield is with us. She is with Door Number 3, which is an agency out of Austin, as their vice president of growth. And she is a LinkedIn superstar. Let's just call it what it is. Top LinkedIn superstar. I so appreciate Bethany's openness in sharing and just kind of bringing all of herself to her audience on LinkedIn. And so that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. And it's how we got here today, because one of her posts, man, especially as we kind of are still early in the new year, really struck a chord with me, really resonated. And so I'm excited today to talk about showing up on all green bars and getting it done in this new year. So Bethany, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. What a treat in the middle of a work day to get to talk to my friend.
I know. Get to hang out. It's going to be so fun. Okay. So first of all, I want to just in general, I think you've given some people really some great advice about not fearing LinkedIn, about bringing yourself there. So talk to me a little bit, just as an introduction to folks, about your journey career-wise that brought you to a place of committing and saying, this is going to be my platform and I'm going to embrace it and show up as myself here. What did that journey look like for you?
Yeah, it's this ongoing journey, isn't it? For all of us.
Yeah.
To not compartmentalize ourselves in the way that we show up to the world. I think of a couple milestones on my personal / career journey, which our career journey is an expression of our personal journey. So sure. I can reference the collective journey of both of those tracks happening in parallel. So sometimes one fed the other. I would say a couple of milestones. The first one being in 2021, I recognized the opportunity of LinkedIn and I called my buddy. My phone a friend is always Neil Smith.
So of course. Shout out to Neil.
Yes. Of course. And I was like, okay, Nils, I want to show up on LinkedIn. What do I do? And he's like, well, to find your voice, you have to use it, which how novel is that? My dad always told me the same thing as a stage kid. I grew up singing in the family band. So think untrapped family, but with a couple American nuances. And so that advice resonated to me of like, well, crap. Okay. I just got to use it. So now what do I say? And then of course the natural fears show up in your head of like, am I an imposter? What if my coworkers think I'm a goober? Or what if I get fired? Or, you know, who am I? Whatever, to be using my voice, all these things, the natural human thing we feel when we try to start using our voice in any setting. This happens to be in the context of LinkedIn. And at the time, I was in Manhattan. I was working for a branding agency that was SWPP. It's like the world's largest marketing and communications firm. And so, you know, I respect the platform that I'm on and the responsibility that I had in a role of business development to take my influence seriously. So regardless of what brand I represent professionally, my own influence is worth yours too, all of ours is worth taking seriously. So I approached it, the microphone, if you will, of LinkedIn, hitting post with great fear and trembling. But I pushed past that to be able to say, I'm just going to start. I'm going to say whatever I can leak out with confidence.
Sure.
And even at the time, that was me reposting something, but adding my like one or two sentence commentary. So it might be posting somebody else's graphic or insight that resonated with me and then sharing why it resonated with me, which is important because sometimes we think just reposting is enough. It's not. You have to at least add your commentary.
Say
to
something.
Yeah. Say why it matters to you. So that was like as much as I could muster, which still felt freaky, right? Because we would just want to scroll. We don't want to have to contribute. And so it was interesting because I remember the first post that I veered from that strategy. And I was like, okay, I'm going to show up in a human way, because Mills also said the posts that are as human as possible, tiptoeing on like, is this the new Facebook? We want to not treat it like, you know, sure. Facebook. But where's the line of showing up as a professional in an honest human way? Okay, so I've just been trying to figure out the line, still am. But I remember it was my birthday and it was June 2021. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to post a birthday post. And it's going to be an actual picture of me holding my son and giving some thoughts about, you know, my vision for life or what's worked, what's not, or just like some nuggets for the people, right? Well, it was so interesting because I was like, again, shaking, you know, maybe not quite literally, but in my heart, I was like, oh God, you know, what's going to happen if I post this? And it was so interesting because when I got to work on Monday, my coworkers, who were still relatively new coworkers and very professional, like we weren't often, you know, kicking it about personal things, but their feedback was so interesting. Like I started to engage with new coworkers in the hallway passing or mm-hmm. the water cooler. And they were like, I loved your post. It really resonated with me for this reason. Or it was so great to see you with your son or whatever their, you know, personal connection. But I realized, okay, it's engaging new people in new ways just for me to show up in a very, you know, authentic way. It wasn't like too much. It wasn't oversharing, but it was honest and transparent and human. So that was like an experiment that I got some data on, right? Well, as the year progressed towards the end of the year in about December, I realized, okay, LinkedIn aside, my life felt quite disjointed and compartmentalized is the word, where okay. I have different communities that I'm showing up on. So to keep it in the social media context, though, like Instagram and LinkedIn, you know, I had developed my voice on LinkedIn more so starting to tiptoe, but it was a very different relationship I had from just even the platforms, which isn't it funny? We have these like full on relationships with these platforms, but it's 24, the world we live in. And I realized my people on Instagram perceive me as this one person that I was known for music in the past. And that's kind of where I like spent a lot of time in Instagram. And so I felt like it was really weird if I was going to ever try to talk about business or anything. Like they didn't even know what I did professionally, like at all, you know? And so there I was, a mother and a singer. And then in LinkedIn, no, you know, I didn't show up as a parent at all, because you can't because of lots of things you have been through, right? So I was just professional. And so in the end of that year, well, there have been incredible guides along my path, just amazing bosses, leaders, or mentors. And at this particular time, Amy Jo Martin and then her peer at the time, Regan Walsh, who both of them, I was watching the way that they showed up. And in this case, it was just online. And we started becoming friends online, which is how we do nowadays. And I was so like just shook by their posts, because the way that they articulated themselves was in such a human, honest way that was also still so professional and inspiring from a professional standpoint, but not disconnected from these other parts of their life. So if it's hobbies or interests or roles that they have, like, again, I referenced mine as a mother or a wife, but whatever, it felt so in sync. Their way of showing up felt really in sync and just honest, you know? And then here I was feeling like disjointed because, you know, I have roles. My husband has a public role that is, you know, requires expectations of me to show up in a certain way. Well, then there's also, like, again, this kind of crew that I was known for being this certain person. And then I had my professional self with this career I had developed. And I just was unsure of, like, what do I do? Like, how do I reconcile these? So that was moving into the next year after that. And that was this past year, 2023, which was a significant year of progress for me in trying to figure out how these puzzle pieces fit together, because I, again, did not know. And I invested in myself by doing a program called Renegade with Amy Jo Martin. And at the time, Reagan Walsh was involved as well. And I was just a sponge. Someone teach me, how do I do this? Like, I'm looking at you guys, yeah. And you have so many more things figured out than me. And so I felt really grateful to be in the room of women, female entrepreneurs, leaders, executives who I knew I can learn so much from. So through that process over the past year, I built up the confidence, if you will, and then started to figure out those puzzle pieces and how they might fit together in my context, and just decided to show up in new ways and in honest ways, which for me was the next version of that fear and trembling to repost somebody else's graphic with my comments. Yeah. The new version of that was to hit record on my phone with the camera flipped onto me and talk for 30 seconds, which sounds silly, but it's scary.
Yeah, right? That's terrifying.
It's terrifying. Why? Lots of reasons. But I decided, okay, I'm going to start with whatever I feel like I can talk about without freaking out. And that was Postable, yeah. My favorite tool, which is like, you know, just a really simple platform that you can mail cards. Yeah. But I felt like, you know what?
Easy.
This might be helpful for somebody else. It's something I'm excited about, but it didn't feel deep. It was just like a thing, sure, I could talk about again without freaking out. So I did. And same thing happened that I referenced before when my coworkers and friends, just people in my influence, started to say, hey, thanks for that. I didn't ever think about, you know, the importance of thanking people in that way or whatever. And so the point is, Amy Jo, again, I will reference her this whole conversation. She says, you don't brand yourself, you are yourself, and that creates a brand.
Mm.
So what started to happen is, rather than me saying, well, who do I want to be? What brand do I want to create for myself? You know, trying to map out the end before I even would be willing to step forward towards anything. Like,
yes,
my gift is strategy and adaptability. Those are my top two strengths finder strengths. Yep. So I can get really stuck if I don't feel like I have the full 3-year strategic plan. So that's great in some contexts, but it's not great in this context because it can paralyze me from taking one step forward. So
yeah.
Yeah, lots we can learn from
that,
but I'm still learning, still figuring it out. But what I find is people want to be inspired. They want to be entertained. Those two things. And if we just show up online and connect with no expectation of, is this going to convert to new clients? Like, am I going to be able to prove the ROI of me showing up? The value is connect, which makes people start to watch you and they feel like they've been, you know, maintaining a relationship with you, forming and then maintaining a relationship with you while you're, you know, at home in your basement in Salem, Oregon. And I just think it's the only way forward nowadays because networking has changed. Like, we don't have the opportunity to bump shoulders at a trade show as often as maybe we used to or wherever else we might have networked in the past. So this is the new networking. And
I love that.
Show up and just be seen. And, you know, it's really funny because you think that, oh, well, what if people are going to think? I think I'm a big deal, or people are going to think X, Y, Z about me. Actually, they love it.
Yeah.
They love, like, the more my friends show up online, I'm like, hi, like,
hi, oh, hello.
I feel like I get to see them.
Yeah.
I get to interact with them. And so again, the benefits are exponential and it does translate into new clients over time. And it does translate into stronger connections because relationships are everything.
And I think that's such a good way, you know, especially for some of our nonprofit development folks, right? To build relationships with donors. If they are actually seeing you in a personal, connected kind of way, and we've talked about this on the podcast a couple different times so far this season, of actually showing up and getting to know your donors, getting to know your audience. And part of that has to be them getting to know you. And so this is an easy way to kind of build that relationship and broaden the net that way too. So yes. Actually, and that's how we ended up on the podcast today, is that I saw one of those lovely little Instagram videos that really, like I said at the top of the show, really resonated with me.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the phrase of showing up on all green bars.
Yes. All bars on green is the way.
All bars on green. There we go. Frame
it. And so
love that.
That same birthday that I referenced in 2021, I was really reflective. I took the day off. June 10th is my birthday. Shout out to June babies. And I was looking back on the year prior, and I have 3 kids. And at the time we were living in Brooklyn, and we had moved to New York like March 8th of 2020, which I don't recommend. The world closed on our way.
Gosh.
And so by the time we arrived in New York, after a couple of months of quarantining with our parents, everything was shut down, and it was, you know, prime COVID era, which we can all reference our own memories.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, we got through it and so many amazing memories during that time, but it was hard. And having kids and just living life is hard, right? Having kids is hard. And then you add a pandemic on it in New York. It was just some big
a lot, factor,
right?
So much.
And got through it and everybody was flourishing. But that birthday, my reflection was, okay, we got through that. But I think my tank is just perpetually empty. Like I could get through the days, but I was just not feeling fully charged. And my question to myself was, what would it look like to show up to life with all bars on green, with fully charged? I don't know about you, but my phone by noon is usually at the one little sliver of red.
Yep.
I'm actually an overachiever, hyper like responsible. So for me, if like somebody shows up late to work, I'm like, yeah, well, you should have left early. And yeah, traffic happens every day. What do you think?
Of course. Traffic
just randomly appear. You know,
okay. Yeah.
So I'm super judgy about it. So I'm like, you would think, okay, just charge your phone. But for whatever reason, you know, I'm not sitting still, or I didn't pack my charger or whatever. It just was a thing. So I used that analogy in my head though of my phone and the little battery bars to relate to my inner energy tank. And what would it look like to go through the day with all bars on green, end the day feeling like I had spent myself in a healthy way, but was not just empty.
At Marketing Support Network, we are proud to support nonprofits by providing top-tier customer service solutions for your donors. Live U.S.-based agents are able to assist your callers by phone, email, website live chat, or social media response 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. From taking donations to updating records, answering questions to placing orders, let Marketing Support Network help you take donor care to the next level. Visit marketingsupportnetwork.com for more information.
So I started to reflect like, okay, I branded my upcoming year of fully charged all bars on green, because that's what marketers do. We have to have a slogan. And I don't know that I like talked about this too much. But it was very real to me. And it was like, okay, the timer started as the birthday passed and the new year has begun. This is my big vision and let's go. Well, very quickly, I started to then bump into these issues of why my battery was on red all the time.
Yeah.
And some of those things that I put in that post that you saw, but I'll just touch on them briefly. One was, I love to say yes. And so I say yes, though, to everyone else except myself. And I struggle to honor commitments that I've made to myself. So I'll cancel a workout in a hot second to solve a problem for a client or a kid.
Sure.
That most likely could have been solved on their own, or at least waited until my workout was done, right?
Sure.
The second thing I started bumping into was I didn't have clear values established to help me filter out when to say yes or when to say no. So I'll quickly fill up my time with good things, which doesn't leave room for the best thing. So being on the PTA when we lived in Brooklyn. Like I loved it. You know, I loved being involved, but also it took away precious time from actually being with my kids because I was having to be up doing admin stuff that I could have just been more present.
Yeah.
And then the third thing was that I self-sabotaged. So in my 20s, I just went through so much grief, a lot of loss. And now when things are good, or those moments where I feel a sense of all bars on green, I find myself kind of shrinking back and just waiting for the next bad thing to happen. And so rather than embracing those good things, sometimes I have trouble enjoying the feeling of being fully charged. So as I then, you know, kind of like process of elimination, just identification and then elimination, I had to kind of reconcile those things. So that first full year actually was spent doing that exercise of identifying what I'm bumping into that's preventing me from fulfilling this vision that I had.
Yeah. So once you have identified these things, and as I shared with you, our nonprofit professionals here, right, are likely in that boat. Mm-hmm. Where I know your career, right? So you, I know, have worked with so many nonprofit leaders across the country. So you understand kind of that struggle that they're in, where you're wearing so many hats and you have so many demands. Yes. And it's so easy to just let everyone else run that show. So once you identified that, what happened next? What were the steps that you would take to kind of put some parameters around that and really make yourself a priority?
Mm-hmm. And this is an ongoing journey. I told you before we hopped on this call, the real-time example of me just trying to work out, right? Which doesn't seem to be that hard, but it is sometimes for me. So my career now is not based in the nonprofit context, but leading up to this moment in my career, it definitely was.
Yeah.
I started my career as a foster care an adoption caseworker. And so I reference so much of what I learned in that chapter in my daily work now, because it was tyranny of the urgent. You know, I'm 22. And now it's like, oh, we missed a direct mail date, right? Like, that's not an emergency. An emergency is a child being removed from a home in the middle of the night, and I have to show up and facilitate that process, right?
Yes.
So I learned a lot of critical things that I reference even now. Conflict management, dealing with angry adults, and they act like angry kids. Sure. So all of the same principles apply, you know, just shuffling a to-do list that only gets longer, right? Hmm. That feeling we all relate to of, okay, wait, I worked all day and I ended the day with a longer list than what I started at.
Yes.
And that's get to you. And it does get to you, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. To us emotionally, when, especially as we said, in nonprofit context, that is a common feeling because there's so many important things to do.
Yes.
And I am doing important things, but which one do I do? And, you know, you're playing whack-a-mole. What I learned as a caseworker that helped me problem solve in this next chapter of like, okay, you know, I figured out, I identified the issues, and I kind of started moving them out of the way. Now what is, can't take care of others if you don't take care of yourself. And I honestly, that drove me nuts when people told me that as a caseworker. And it drove me nuts when people told me that as a super young mom, because I'm like, okay, cool. Are you going to come sit on the couch?
And right. Who's going to do the thing? So
yeah. But the principles still apply. So one thing during casework was we had to be in counseling. So in order for me to provide therapeutic care for my foster parents and foster kids, I had to be going to counseling each week, right? So some of those principles I started to bring back up to the front of my mind and reference them. So that's just one thing that I referenced in my talk that I can, you know, include in maybe the comments section of this podcast, so I don't have to repeat there. But that's one thing, is really just making sure that I'm paying myself first, as Amy Jo says. Before I'm expecting myself to do things for others, I have to do for myself those things. And so for me, another significant thing that happened is deciding how I want to feel. So my health was a big one at that point because I had, nursed three babies, had three babies, gone through all the COVID season. And then again, like burnout was a real feeling for me at that point. And so figuring out how I wanted to feel physically, and then it relates in other ways professionally as well. And then making a work back plan and deciding, okay, I'm not just going to settle for feeling like crap, which I think sometimes we all do because we're tired or we get stuck, you know, in this state. And so I felt like the bravest thing I could do in that moment was decide and articulate, I want to feel great, period. I want to physically feel, I want my inside, I had had a lot of stomach issues in my 20s and I want to resolve that. I want to feel strong. I want to feel, again, like the all bars on green. And so getting really clear with articulating the vision, the details of that all bars on green, of this is how I want to feel physically. And this is how I want to feel emotionally, spiritually, whatever, go through the list. So I started referencing back to casework, my nonprofit era, I would do treatment planning for my foster kids. And so I would go through each section, behavioral, emotional, physical, spiritual, and write out the goals and write out the progress. So I started treating myself like a foster kid, like my kids. And the important thing though, is starting with articulating, what do you want? What is that goal and how do you want to feel? So I figured that out from a physical standpoint, which required a lot of acrobatics and a lot of guides along the way, but I got, you know, progress and clarity there. But then even from the standpoint professionally, to be able to articulate, I want to show up to a pitch, for example, I'm in advertising and I lead sales. So I run pitches a lot, think Mad Men, which is really fun. But I want to decide how I want to feel. Okay, it's Monday at 9 a.m. I've got a pitch with people in all these different time zones. And there's, you know, 10 people from the client side, 10 people from our side. It's a whole big production. It's all happening on Zoom now.
Sure.
It used to be in person. But in order for me to show up at 9 a.m. on Monday morning with a full all bars on green tank, What does that take? What does that feel like? Describe what that feels like. And then also decide on a work back plan. So my years of case management or account management taught me you have to break it down and work backwards, right? You have to start with, when's the mail date? 3 months from now. Okay. What are all the little steps? And so I started treating myself like that as well, to say, I believe I'm worth feeling like that fully charged sense. And I also am going to fight for it. And so I'm going to figure out with my margins, like Jessica Turner talks about the fringe hours and all that we can accomplish in those fringe hours that we might otherwise waste watching a show, which is fine to watch a show. But like, there's a lot of time we actually have that we often waste if we could be with the little bite-sized pieces. So I just started figuring out, you know, for me, it's not going to look like the weekend before that pitch. I'm probably not going to, maybe I will, but not going to spend the whole day at the spa and, you know, just doing all of these like hours long things that I often perceive to be self-care that makes me just feel guilty and feel like I'm never going to do that. So I'm just going to eat these potato chips on the couch. You know, like there's a spectrum.
Right.
And so my point in this conversation is there is a spectrum and that's not necessarily what self-care means. I am really on a mission to rebrand self-care because it's my full-time job to care for myself. And I have these other jobs, these other things, my day job, my career, my kids, my family, but my full-time job is to keep my tank, my battery packed full, and to do what it takes to prioritize whatever I have to do to show up to life in these particular moments. It also means, you know, it's not that you can show up to maybe as many moments as you could before. You have to learn to start to also prioritize which ones you're wanting to expect yourself to show up to, knowing that we have limited time and limited energy to give, right?
I think that is a critical piece. And one of the important factors, I've heard you talk about it before, I know I've seen other folks talk about it, is that idea that it's not It can't be all or nothing. And we get sucked into that, right? Yeah. Thinking, well, I can't do a whole spa day. I can't do all of these things. So forget it. I have no control. I can't do anything to help myself. Mm-hmm. Instead of being able to see it as steps that I'm taking to get to the end goal. It does not have to be all or nothing. I struggle with that sometimes. I'm like, okay, I don't have the time right now to get out and take a 45-minute walk.
Yes. Yeah.
But I do have the time to go take a 15-minute one. And so let me get that in while I can, and then I'll get to the rest of the time later. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, but I feel like that tends to be where a lot of folks get stuck.
Well said. And me being the first one, that's where I get stuck, because we all, pretty much whoever's listening to this podcast, likely is a overachiever, I would say. Uh-huh. At least striving for perfection in life, which is good. But also, and I know progress over perfection, we hear it all the time, but it's honest. That is where we get stuck, is I wanted a 45-minute workout, but it may not be in the cards today. So I just don't do the 15.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, well, I'll try again tomorrow, when there's a lot of color in that black and white.
Yes.
And I'd love to convey my creative soul. Just, I see business with lots of color. It's that black and white to me. And I see a box and I'm like, oh, flip it up around and spin it around, and then it'll land on a different, you know, like I just see with a lot more color in other areas. But when it comes to myself, I'm very black and white, and I'm harsh with myself. So to me, it's kind to yourself to be able to say, okay, yeah, we can't do the 45-minute one, but we can do something.
Sure.
Right?
And absolutely,
it will make you feel better. You know, and I just, my one word to you all on this topic would be, you're worth having all your bars on green. And you have to be the one first to decide that you're worth it. And then start to, again, make the steps towards it in your context. So whatever that means for you. It doesn't mean you have to just, you know, quit your job and move off to wherever. It's incremental, but the progress does start to compound over time. And then you do start to get the momentum that, you know, what's happened is the second year. So I told you what happened in the first year, and then the second year had its own new twists and turns and progress. But I'm in now year three of this journey, and certain things I feel like now I have the capacity to tackle in life that I didn't have the capacity to tackle before, because I was having to get all this other stuff out of the way. But that momentum, it does, again, build over time, and it starts to get a flywheel effect, you know?
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think it's so critical, especially for those who are on the front lines of nonprofits who are doing amazing work. It's so easy to let all of those demands run your schedule and overtake and burn out. So I think this is such a great topic for everybody to really make sure that they're making themselves a priority and taking those steps, even if they're tiny ones. Tiny ones are great.
Yes.
To take care of themselves so that they can continue to do that great work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's my counselor, in that time where I told you prioritizing counseling again became a thing to put on my list. So in that year of 2021, when I was in New York, my counselor, I called her and I said, okay, I got to figure out boundaries. Like, so what are those, you know, and how do I put them in real life? Like, I just really was treating myself as like 101, because I felt like I see other people doing this. Why do I struggle with this, you know? And she said, well, boundaries are really just stating what you need. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I can kind of do that. I struggle with just stating what I need, because sometimes I, again, like, then you have to figure out like, well, what do I need? What do I want?
Right.
And then you have to state them. So that's the workback plan, is like figuring out. And sometimes for me, I could, even next week, I'm meeting with a brain coach because I want some help in some other areas, just helping to articulate what I need and what I want, so that I can then state them to others, but help me just personally start to wrestle through what are those things. And so I love that simple definition of boundaries.
Yes. Because
in a professional setting, it might be, okay, my boss is asking me to do this thing. And what if instead of just saying, okay, and internalizing this whole big war, what if you just said, okay, in order to do that, here's what I need to accomplish. Like, here's the space and the time I need to accomplish these other things that are already on my plate. So yeah. It's, you know, it's advocating for yourself. Like, it's, you know, when I was a caseworker, I would do assertiveness training for my teens on my caseload and help them assert themselves and say what they need. And it's funny because I find myself like, oh, I think I'm actually dealing with a lack of assertiveness. Like,
yeah,
I need to advocate for myself. And so boundaries don't have to be this big dramatic thing. It's just getting more clear and confident with yourself and others about what you need.
I love that. Bethany, thank you so much for this whole conversation. I'm just very hopeful that our audience takes all of this to heart because, man, working in nonprofits can be hard. It's yes. draining. And it's so important to make sure that you're making yourself a priority and putting those boundaries in place and taking the time to do what you need and to ask for what you need. So I really appreciate your transparency on that and sharing your heart and some ways that your journey has looked like that so others can hopefully follow suit. So thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time today.
My pleasure. Keep it up, guys.
Thanks, guys. Join us next time on the Nonprofit Hub podcast. We're super excited to keep bringing you all sorts of educational content across the board. We'll see you next week.